If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's P-A-I-R.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Yeah, Mind Pump. Welcome to Mind Pump, everybody.
You know what? Every once in a while when we start recording, I can tell when all of our testosterone levels are over 5,000.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And levels are high.
And it's not even my final form. Yeah. 9,000! Anyway.
Hey.
Cartoon reference.
I'm here with the one and only small trap Sal DiStefano.
Big legs, though.
Small trap, big legs.
The Justin Andrews.
And who you just heard talking is our own beautiful and wonderful
immaculate starfish hole.
2.4 gigawatts. Adam Schaefer.
22 gigawatts.
I almost said you were going to fully compliment me. I was like, oh, now I feel bad about saying anything about your small traps. Now.
They're not that small.
No, not at all. Not at all. I can almost see him from here.
God damn it.
And I'm sitting right next to you.
All right, bro. What's your plan?
Oh, hey, so.
You had a plan. What's your plan?
You know what I did yesterday?
That's your
Let's
plan.
Let's hear it. Okay.
All right, I want to hear it.
No. I watched the CrossFit documentary.
Oh, ooh. The one on, what's his name? Froning?
Rich Froning, yeah.
I'm frowning that you did that.
Yeah.
Was it good?
You're fine.
Yuck.
Before you start, the dude is an animal.
Well, let me enlighten you guys.
He's not an animal?
First of all, this reminds me of when I was a young kid. So everybody knows, if you listen to Mind Pump, we talk a lot of trash about CrossFit.
Sure.
Because we, just for program design reasons, we're all, okay.
Not talking shit about the athletes.
No,
the sport,
we are all huge fans of the sport. It's a great sport.
I fucking love watching that shit.
Yeah, I love watching the sport of it. So,
isn't that such a backhanded compliment?
Right?
Ever?
Yeah.
So, you guys are so awesome, but you're so dumb at the same time.
Hey, sometimes a little backhand increases the excitement, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Kapow.
So that being said, when I was younger, it used to always bother me when and I know this, I'm going to take a real crazy left turn here.
Are you going to get sad?
No. Okay. It used to bother me when people would talk about their religion, and they would talk about how great it is, but then they know nothing about any other religion. And I just find that I've always had a problem with that. And I grew up in the church and everything like that. So I grew up.
Well, can I say something real quick?
Yeah, of course. I know you have something to say about that.
No.
Okay, the kind of person that goes to church.
No.
Clown on me and my ghosts.
Not at all. My wife's Catholic. My kids go to Catholic school. So I'm not talking shit. Here's
there we go.
When you watch an athlete and then they win an event, and the first thing they do is like, I just want to thank God.
Yeah.
Right. I would love, because apparently God controls everything, I would love, just for shits and giggles, to see them blame God one time for a loss. Just one time. You know what I'm saying? Like
just,
you know,
to balance it out.
Like, Adam, you just lost your competition. You got 15 play. You know, how do you feel? Yeah. Well, I would just like to blame God.
I was on
just not trained enough for this? It was God. What's going on?
No. It's God's fault. God didn't want me to win. So I just like to blame God on that. You know. Anyway, continue.
Okay, that was funny. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay, so that being said, I'm not somebody, you know, who just decided to pick on CrossFit, and I don't know anything about CrossFit. Okay, I did CrossFit before most people knew what the fuck CrossFit was. You know, it originated here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So, and I'm connected to 3 of the top 10, CrossFit guys in the world right now. So I know them. Hey, and we're not like the best of friends or anything, but I have some
anymore.
Very
yeah, definitely
yeah, right. I have some really good friends that are connected to them, and so, you know, I've got a relationship with those people, and I'm very familiar with it. And in addition to that, that. I like to, I'll read articles about that are, that's pro CrossFit. I'll watch documentaries and stuff of that because I'm fascinated by it, regardless if I'm a believer in it as a way of fitness. You know, I definitely 100% disagree with it as a way of fitness, but you know what, as a sport, and I think it's cool. I think it's very cool and it's very neat and fascinating to watch. And some of these athletes like this guy are fucking unreal.
Oh,
man.
He's a beast.
Like, so the
punishment,
title,
can take punishment crazy.
Oh, dude, so check this out, okay? And the reason why I want to talk about this, because I think you guys will enjoy this topic, because it kind of segues into a lot of things that we kind of talk about already, and it's a great way to revisit some of these topics. The dude, okay, if you don't know who Rich Froning is, he has won mind pump.
He's won the mind pump game.
Yeah. He's run the, I was going to say that.
What the hell would that we start that?
What would the mind pump games
I don't know.
Be?
We'll come up. We'll have to come
who
up.
Who has
with
the
one.
Best verbal assaults via Instagram?
He drank 5 beers and held his piss for 2 hours. Because yeah. That's what we do.
So he won the CrossFit games 4 years in a row. And he's not this crazy massive guy. He's definitely jacked. I mean, he's super ripped. He's 5'8 and 195 pounds and -1.
He's 5'8?
Yeah, he's 5'8.
Yeah, he's
Whoa.
Little guy.
That's little. I thought he was taller than that.
No, he's only 5'8. They actually do all his dimensions. At the end of the thing, they actually show you all his measurements. That's kind of cool.
He's a brick. He's a little brick.
He's very definitely stacked. A little brick. Yeah, but he's 5'8, 195, which 195 pounds and only 5'8.
Bro,
dense.
I usually
fuck.
Weigh around that and I'm 6 foot and I'm not as lean as he is.
Yeah. Dense, right?
Right.
So he is dense as, I mean, he is a badass. So you have to, what I love, and I watch things like this, and it doesn't matter if it's a documentary, if it's for something I'm pro or not, I always, I don't know why, what this, and I know you guys are like this because we're all weird like this. I watch shit like that. Of course, I do it when I'm high, so it slows everything down. It's my thing. You know, if I'm watching, just so you guys know, I'll just put that out there right now. If I'm watching TV, which I don't do a lot of it, I'm probably still
usually running Stimpy.
Yeah, I'm sitting down, putting my feet up, and what's neat, if those that are not
so
familiar,
basically, you don't remember much of what you.
No,
watch.
Not at all. I disagree. I disagree with that theory.
I'm just kidding.
I, you know, when I smoke
he's
cannabis,
intensively focused
and,
on
oh
it.
Yes, yeah, I no, see true. Everything in slow motion. In fact, smoking and watching a show that is...
We don't advocate this, by the way. Just wanted to say that.
Thanks for the disclaimer.
You're
there.
Welcome.
We do not agree with everything that Adam says on the show.
I'm so free to say that you do everything.
Yeah, so when I watch shows, it will... Like, if I watch an ABC show or whatever, I can just see the bad acting. It's like in slow motion. I can see it. It's crazy how it... But if I'm sober and I'm watching it, don't even notice it.
You're right,
it just,
dude.
Okay?
Yeah, I could totally...
I could pick apart something like that. So, of course, I'm sitting here and I'm watching this, and that's what I'm doing to this show. I'm like looking at all the little subtle things that they do. It's obviously a documentary that was probably financed. And I don't know this for sure, okay? So this is just my opinion and what I think.
No, it said on there.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, that it was promoted by CrossFit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so,
it did?
Yeah. And it was obvious. Because
all their journals are by CrossFit. Yeah. All their articles by CrossFit.
Yeah.
Website, everything, CrossFit.
And it's got the all-American, like, music playing in the background. Yeah. Every time they interview him and they're talking to him, there's a huge American flag as the backdrop behind him. I mean, it's just like
America.
And like, you know, they adopted a baby, so he's like kissing the baby and himself. Like, it's just like all these clips in it.
Well,
are
they
snatching.
I told you this. I didn't even watch the documentary, but you told us you were watching it. They want because any sport will explode if they have a superstar.
Superhero star.
Like, look what happened to bodybuilding because of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Because of Arnold Schwarzenegger and pumping iron, bodybuilding went from circus freaks in the, you know, in the background to a sport that then influenced how
Through
other
the
sports
governor
exercise.
Of California.
Well, right.
Let me tell you what
And so this is their Michael Jordan. They need this. Yes. They build him up and they want him to be this.
You and know, you could see that okay. And right. That's why I find even like some documentaries funny because, you know, and I don't know. I have no idea what this guy's real home life. Maybe he is the all American guy, and he just kisses babies and is great to his wife, and he's just this perfect dude. I mean, but when he described his training, and I saw what he did to train to get ready for these competitions and stuff, and I thought to myself, he's 4 weeks out from, and this happens right. He's 4 weeks out from his fourth, like, most important win for him going after it, right? And they adopt a baby. And, you know, there's this like subtle part in it where he's like kissing the baby and the guys record him and asking stuff like that. And he mentions that it's the first time with the baby. And they do all these clips with him, you know, changing the diaper and doing this stuff. But you could tell by the way he's with the baby that I don't know how much time he actually has spent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that's not how they portray it. You know what I'm saying? They portray it completely different, you know, because, and I'm thinking to myself, I know how much he's training because he tells us and shows us how much he trains for this. And I'm thinking like, wow, that's pretty impressive to be able to do that while having a newborn.
That's
in the house.
Tough.
So,
well, the fact that he won, didn't he win it?
Yes.
He obviously
in dramatic fashion too.
Yeah. So he obviously trained his ass off.
If you don't know how the CrossFit Games works, it works like this. So there's, it's over the course of 2 or 3 days. I forget. It's at least 2 days. It might be 3 days. I'm not 100% off on that.
Which to me, that aspect of the sport is the most impressive to me because as with any sport, you have to peak on one event, you know. With this, you have to peak maximum performance over, you know, 3 days.
Yeah. And so this is what makes him so impressive. And this is what everybody who competes against him, what's known in the community, it's like everyone there is competing for second place. Rich dominates it.
Yeah,
and
up.
Even if he's losing or is behind on Sunday, he destroys everybody. So you gotta go like, whoa, what is up with this guy?
So his ability to withstand punishment.
Yeah. Like he's in the tank.
So here's a couple of things that I learned about the guy watching this documentary. Fascinating. Okay. First of all, they actually had clips of him as a child, like playing sports. The dude was amazing in everything.
Of course.
He was amazing in football. He was amazing in basketball. He was amazing in baseball. He was amazing in anything that he did.
Of course.
And they have they have footage of him like as a running back, breaking tackles, running for touchdowns left and right. They have him baseball, stealing play.
But CrossFit turned him into a super athlete.
This is why I love to talk about this. So then it goes.
That doesn't make sense.
So then it goes better, right? So then I'm like, okay, so this guy was just a genetic freak from birth. And you can see, and they basically are proving that by showing you what he looked like and Katrina and I are watching, like you could see him as at like 9-10 years old, he already had a physique on him as a kid. Yeah. You know, like he just was built.
Yeah, if you saw a picture of me at 9 or 10, you'd be like, someone please feed that poor kid.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You can see my ribs, kid. Right? So the guy is a genetic freak. Then you find out how this guy trains. Okay, you guys have all seen like how a CrossFit WOD is put together and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. This motherfucker does 4 of those a day.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He blows 4 wads a day?
He blows four wads a day.
Ew, that's more than me.
I did that one time, but I can't do more than 2 nowadays.
That's a lot. After that, I get sore.
I'm maybe one wad. Maybe one a day. That's max for me. maybe.
It's a lot of toilet paper. Yeah.
The honesty of this podcast is just fucking amazing.
Unreal to see somebody be able to, and here's the thing, that's the reason why he's dominant, that's the way no one can touch him and catch him, is because he is literally a genetic freak that trains like he's a genetic freak.
You know what's funny?
Right.
When you're competing in a sport like CrossFit, which is just fucking brutal on the body.
Right.
The person who has the genetics who can withstand the most punishment is probably going to be the best. You know what I'm saying? Other sports.
Yeah.
Unlike other sports where maybe the person with the genetics who's the fastest or person with the genetics who's, you know, able to keep calm, like archery or shooting, where these people who can slow their heart rate down and, you know, aim. And by the way, you know what a performance-enhancing drug is for archery and for shooting?
A beta blocker.
Beta blocker.
Yeah.
Drugs that slow the heart rate down.
It's the same for anybody like a musician in the orchestra.
Yeah, to calm them down, right?
Yep.
So for a CrossFit sport, probably the guy that could do the most workouts without getting injured and fucking himself up.
Well, and what proves that point even more is they take you through all his events. It's kind of cool. So you get to see all his events on days 1 and 2 or whatever. And I think it's 2, maybe it's 3 days, 2 days. I don't remember, but I think it's a total of 10 events that he has to compete in over the course of, I believe, 2 days. And he's
throwing a softball.
He's
really
taking ninth. Say the first day he takes like ninth place or 15th place in the swim. He takes ninth place with this rope climb thing they do. He doesn't take first in anything. He's like, I think the best he did in something was like second in like one of the lifts that he's better at than everybody else. Like his ability to like overhead squat and clean and jerk stuff. Yeah. Like he's a badass.
He just can survive better than the rest of those people.
And because of how he trains too. He's a genetic freak. And then he trains like that to handle that every single day he's got that already. Right. So then here comes Sunday. Sunday comes around first place.
Because everybody's fried.
Yep. On all the events.
Yeah, they blew their wad.
He is just like getting everybody, dude. Mm. Getting everybody. I mean, it was cool to watch him. I mean, it's funny, you know, they call him the fittest man in the world and everything like that.
No, he's the best CrossFitter in the world.
Yes.
I fucking hate it's a documentary, right? They're gonna put a nice title on it and make it look like it's awesome.
Yeah. But they even had people come on and like talk about it to like, you know, oh, he's the fittest man in the world. Probably they talked about saying too. He is.
Oh, and they had people challenging CrossFit on there.
They did not have any. Of course not.
Number one CrossFit in the world enters an amateur Olympic lifting competition.
Destroyed.
15th place.
Yeah. Probably a lot lower. If that. Actually. Yeah. If that.
World CrossFit champion enters a triathlon, loses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're excellent at what they do.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think this is
plays ping pong.
There's people trying to make claims that he's the greatest athlete that ever lived and all this stuff like that. I'm like, whoa, bro. Fucking slow.
No, there's been more dominant athletes in other sports. Look at Michael Phelps for fuck's sake.
Oh yeah.
The guy was so dominant. It was like it's almost scary. He's a phenom. Look at Lance Armstrong. Look at any of these athletes that don't. I mean. You know, they're the best at what they do. He's the best at what he does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of just like the modern day gauntlet. It should just be called punishment games. Yeah. That's all it is. You're surviving some gauntlet.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what this
I didn't die this time. How?
First place. This is great because you're bringing up that whole point about being a genetic, genetic anomaly, being that 0.001% of the world that can perform at a certain level. I'll use an example of a sport that I followed since its inception that in the beginning, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about, because there were so many factors. I'm talking about mixed martial arts. And when MMA first came to the US,
I used to love watching it back in the
day. It wasn't about who was the craziest genetic anomaly in terms of physical ability. It was about who understood how to fight the best and how to make the other fighter have to fight your fight. And so you had this genetic weakling, which literally Hoist Gracie, who won the first three, he would get his ass kicked in any sport. And that was dependent on strength, speed, and power. The guy's not strong. The guy's not fast. He was a skinny dude.
The filthiest technique ever for jiu-jitsu.
But his jiu-jitsu For jiu-jitsu, he's not even the best. His brother Hickson could fucking mop the floor with him. And even today, even if you took him in his prime and put him in a jiu-jitsu tournament, he'd get his ass kicked. It's just that he knew jiu-jitsu and the other guys didn't.
Yeah.
And for a long time, MMA was dominated by these guys that understood technique, which is really what martial arts is all about. Because look, you take 1,000 random people, you're probably not going to even have one person, one of them is going to be in the top 0.1% of the world in terms of genetic ability. So most people are average. That's what average means. So martial arts are supposed to set you up to be able to defend yourself against a bigger, stronger, meaner opponent. And that's what jiu-jitsu did very well, and it was established. Now when you watch mixed martial arts, because it's so evolved,
you have to be well-crafted in like five things. Yeah. Even
now everybody's good at everything. It's the best athlete. Now it's the genetic freaks that are winning.
You're right.
You see what I'm saying?
You're right.
Like all of them are good at jiu-jitsu. All of them are good at wrestling. All of them can kickbox. All of them can box. Now it's the genetic anomaly.
Super athlete. That's made its way in.
Right, and it's going to keep going that way. Now you're going to have people who are like NFL athlete caliber. Mm-hmm. Who now know how to fight, and they're the ones that are going to win, because when you have two people who know how to fight very well and their skills very good and they meet each other, it's the guy who's the better genetic freak. And that's what high level sports is.
Well, it's
and now I'm sad.
Did we ever watch that TED Talk together that I thought was just so
yes, we did. Yeah. We discussed it.
Did
we do an episode on it?
We did. Yeah,
I wish I remember the name of it so I could plug it again, because it was so fascinating to me, because it talked about this, just the evolution of science, and I tell you what, man, I used to say it. I mean, I for sure in my head I truly believed that the difference between the super athlete now and the super you know, athlete 40 years ago was performance enhancement drugs. I would have said that for sure. I would argue that till I died, until I saw that tenta. No. When I saw that, it shattered my paradigm.
No, what they
completely
did
completely shattered my paradigm.
He proved it, and he proved it very, very well. And we should, you know what? We'll get the name, Justin, maybe when you post Instagram page at Mind Pump, you could put like the name of it so people can find it.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool TED Talk.
But this guy proved that the major advancements in sports, the major reasons why records have been broken, you know, for so many years and why they continue to be broken, is for two reasons, and it's not performance enhancing drugs. One is better equipment, much more advanced equipment, more advanced pools, more advanced tracks,
yeah, clay bikes, tracks, shoes, versus
all that stuff. Number two is that what they call the democratization of sports, where athletes are becoming specialized for a particular sport, not because their training is specialized, but because they're born
for
and
that.
Picked
right.
for it.
Hand
so
selected.
Right, because you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or maybe even further before that, the perfect athlete was considered somebody who could do anything, right? Mm-hmm. So someone who was the best swimmer, they would try and pick out this guy who was like 5'10", 170 pounds, and that was the model athlete for every sport, shot put, wrestling, boxing.
Then now, we start looking at levers.
Yeah, now, like the best shot putter looks nothing like the best long distance runner, who looks nothing like the best weightlifter, who looks nothing like the best triathlete. You know, they're all born a specific way, and then on top of that, they have all the training and the equipment.
Yes.
And then when you add performance-enhancing drugs, that adds a little bit, but not a ton, but it adds a little bit. But we've said this before.
But that's how the 1% competes against each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not what got them there.
Exactly.
They're like, oh,
that's
shit.
Such a great point right there. That is such a great point, is that that is what separates the 1%ers.
Right. You know
what I'm
saying?
What really gets them to that level is they are genetically built for that. They've trained their asses off their entire life.
All the technique, everything.
Yes, to get there. And then what makes, you know, superstar one better than superstars two could be some performance enhancement drugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
it could tip the scale just that slight bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. But like I said, if you take, me, for example, you could put me, and I don't have bad genetics, I have average or maybe a little better than average, you could put me on the most scientific crazy stack of steroids and anabolic hormones in the world, and I would never win Mr. Olympia. I would never be an NFL.
No,
I would never play in the NFL. You could give me all the drugs in the world, you could have the best scientist in the world construct the best, you know, drug concoction, put me on it for the next 5 years, and I would definitely look different. I'd probably, you know, definitely perform better than I do now, but I wouldn't be able to touch these guys at this level, because I wasn't born that way.
I've seen it firsthand with athletes that I played with that wanted to go to the next level so bad that they just compromised. They got jacked, but they still couldn't compete.
No, you
they
can't.
Could not compete with their, you know, these genetic phenomenons.
Mm-hmm. Now, what one thing that I did, because I'm extremely, and you guys are the same way. I know you guys are. I'm very competitive. I'm very driven. I want to achieve success in whatever I do, whether it's working out, whether it's, you know, business or whatever. Once I got old enough to understand that, at first I was kind of sad, like, fuck, like no matter what I do, I'll never be able to look like Arnold, or I'll never be able to. But here's one thing that I do tell myself that I firmly believe in. And whether I'm right or wrong, it doesn't fucking matter. Here's what I firmly believe in. I firmly believe in that I can work, I can outwork anybody, and that I have a better attitude than anybody. And whether that's true or not really doesn't matter, because the fact that I believe that is what propels me to be the best me
that I'll ever be. Once you understand that, you can really hone in to who you are, you know, your skills, and you can keep refining that to be the ultimate.
Right.
And that's all you have to be concerned about.
Right. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. I was genetically gifted with a big mouth, or fucking cursed. We don't know yet. We'll see what ends up happening, guys.
Yeah. So. I just like us. I like us talking. I mean, the other day we were all on, our buddy Joe Donnelly, one of my favorite guys. If you guys don't follow him already, I think I've plugged him once before.
Oh, we've plugged him like five times.
I've got a slight man crush. Dude, it's, you know what? Like,
you guys haven't even had sex yet.
No, not yet. Stupid.
They talked about it.
So, I just love people with no filters. I love people with no filters. And I'd rather take somebody who's going to slightly offend somebody every once in a while and is politically incorrect than the person
than
who
fake.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I love the realness behind the guy. And you know, people boy, they just love to come after him about being natural or unnatural, and he gets so much shit for being this guy who claims he's natural. He's 250 pounds, shredded to the bone, and a freak. And I've met him in person, and I can tell when someone is or is not.
For most of the time.
For the most
time. Not always.
Yeah, right. Not exactly. You know, there's people, but there's some things that I feel like it's sometimes someone who is on it, sometimes you can or cannot or like that, because depending on how well they use it. But somebody who is 100% natural, I can normally tell pretty for sure on what they look like. And he, in life, and when you meet the guy, he looks natural.
You could tell that a lot of his, the reason why he looks the way he does in terms of muscularity is because he's works out hard and he's got crazy genes.
Yeah, he's incredibly dense. If we stand next to each other, I look a lot bigger than he does, but he's crazy. He's bigger. He's
yeah, it weighs you.
He's 250 pounds. I'm 230. He's got 20 pounds on me. He's only got 1 inch on me. He squats about 5 times of what I can squat. Yeah. But you also, I've seen pictures of
he's
him.
Another example of being able to take that like crazy amount of punishment. Like he'd be amazing at CrossFit.
Didn't he play in the NFL?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a perfect example of just like who we're talking about right now with the Rich Froning. If you look back at his pictures when he was 17, if you put his picture at 17 and me at 17, I mean, the dude was, I mean, he was a freak already. He looks sick.
Now, I brought this up earlier, but I don't think we did this on air. Here's something interesting that I've noticed. This is not scientific. It's my own observation. I've noticed with people who build muscle, lift weights, and who are natural, they tend to be much stronger than they look. Versus the other way around. Now, that's not to say there's guys on gear who aren't strong as shit. Obviously, some of the strongest people in the world are. But I've noticed a lot of natural guys, like Lane Norton, for example, muscular, impressive looking, not nearly as big as, you know, the number one physique competitors.
Oh, no.
He's a bodybuilder. Lane Norton, way stronger than he looks. Way stronger than
If he was in a polo shirt standing next to you, you wouldn't even think he's like a hardcore lift guy.
Right.
But he fucking can lift a house.
And if you look at the old-time muscle builders, if you read about some of the feats of strength of like Eugene Sandow and, you know, some of these guys way back in the day before steroids were even invented, they do lifts that I don't think a lot of guys could do in the gym. Crazy feats of strength. Deadlifting over 600 pounds, squatting over 600 pounds. The first 500-pound benchers were all natural. Doing odd lifts like the bent press with 300 pounds. Crazy shit that you couldn't even believe. And then you go back far enough time, Paul Anderson, who was a famous Olympic lifter. The guy had some ridiculous feats of strength, and apparently he was natural for most of his life. And then let's talk about my hero. Michael Hearn. Michael Hearn's a fucking beast, though. I'm talking about Jack LaLanne.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Jack LaLanne.
He's the father of fitness, really.
Jack LaLanne is, when it comes to fitness idol, just for pure fitness, it's Jack LaLanne.
Yeah.
That guy set world records in push-ups and pull-ups in his 50s.
Didn't he set one for swimming, too? I thought I remember seeing
him pulling a tugboat with his teeth.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is what he did. This was on his 70th birthday, and you can find this video on YouTube. They actually recorded it. He pulled 7 or 10 rowboats with 7 or 10 people in it. So 70 people in boats. He pulled them from Alcatraz back to San Francisco.
That's nuts.
With a harness attached to him, with his hands and feet shackled. So he's swimming like a fucking dolphin. 70
Shut
years old.
Up.
70.
That's how he did it? I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's true.
It took him a long... Yeah, it's on video.
Wow.
And he just swam. Again, of course, genetic freak, but what lived the lifestyle.
Oh,
definitely natural.
You've seen all that, you've seen like his daily routine, right? He did the, like the craziest things ever when he
did it. It was
like,
kind of funny. Yeah. Yeah. The silly like
wrist warm ups and foot warm. Yeah. I mean, he had this routine of what he did religiously
every day.
And you know, the guys like going back to Joe Donnelly, the Mike O'Hearns, the people like that so many people want to say, oh, steroids, because they look so huge.
Don't know all these people, so no, we're not claiming, you know, yes or no that they are or not. Yeah.
But it's, to me, it's very, very believable that they are natural because, I mean, Mike O'Hearn, the guy's been lifting weights for like 30 plus years.
Well, he was also, he was a powerlifting champion and then California judo champion or something like that. So
And he has been lifting heavy and hard for a very, and that's just like Joe.
And again, strong as shit. I don't know if you ever see his go on his Instagram. Mike O'Hearn will do a freaking demo where he's talking to people, telling him how to squat.
Why, squatting five plates.
Like, 500 pounds on his back.
Yeah.
And he's talking while he's doing it. And he'll go down and hold
it
at the bottom.
You want to hold it.
Yeah, yes. He hold it at the bottom. This is where your hips need to be, and he'll come up. Okay, let's try that again. Come down and talk. Like I would do 135.
Yeah. And, like, and that type of strength like that, like there, nobody can, you don't just take a bunch of anabolics and then all of a sudden can do that.
No.
I mean, it takes years and years and years to build that type of strength. I mean, and that's to me what makes me, whether they are 100% or not, which we've talked about, who cares? Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I think when you care, because I used to care when I was a kid. It used to piss me off too, because I'd look at me, you're on juice. Oh, you're not. The reason why I used to care is the same reason why people care now, because it challenges you. All of a sudden, you're looking at this person and you're thinking, you know, they're better than me. That's not cool. Oh, this is why they're better, because they're doing this and I'm not doing that. And it makes you feel better about yourself. Newsflash, okay? There's probably people in the world that are going to be better at you,
than you.
That are smarter than you, that are faster than you, that are better looking than you,
right?
You know, that look younger than you when you get older, that whatever. It's just fucking life. We're not all equal. It's just the way it is. So get over it. Be the best, you know, you that you can be. And the only way you can do that is by comparing yourself to you, not to anybody else.
Yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying.
We've talked about this a long time ago before too. Of I'm a huge fan of since I've done this whole Instagram thing. I love doing this like progress. And I discipline myself to do this even when I don't feel good. So even if I'm not posting it on Instagram, I have the most narcissistic volume of pictures of myself in my phone. But I do.
I'm catching up.
I do this because I'm always competing against myself. I don't scroll through a bunch of fitness, and that, which people ask me all the time, like, oh, who's your like fitness inspiration or this or that? I'm like, my fitness inspiration is my fat ass 2 weeks ago. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, what did I look like a month ago? Where am I at now? Am I improving? Am I regressing? And that's what motivates me and drives me.
This is crazy that you even brought this up, because I actually wanted to do a whole episode on what you're talking about right now. I just finished training one of my clients, Jim, who I've been training for a long time. The guy's 69 years old. For the last, I don't know, 40 years, the guy has exercised on a consistent basis. He swims an hour and a half nonstop every single night.
Whoa.
He lifts weights 4 days a week. He eats very well. He's not a genetic freak in any sense of the term, but he's just super consistent, super. And, you know, I talked to him today because I look up to him. And this fucker doesn't believe me when I tell him that. He thinks I'm blowing smoke up his ass because he thinks I'm like some kind of hero. And I always tell him, like, no. You're like in a different level than me. You've been doing this for so long. You're 69. This is crazy. And I asked him, I said, what keeps you motivated that whole time? Like, what's your motivation? And you know what he said to me?
What?
He said, don't fall in love with the progress. Fall in love with the process.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me was like, whoa, that was earth shattering. Because that makes a lot of sense. Like, he doesn't necessarily, yes, he's going to progress. You know, he's progressed this whole time that he's done this. But
right, let that be the byproduct in a sense.
Yeah, he loves the process. He loves swimming. He loves exercising. He loves eating healthy. He loves the everyday of it.
Right.
And as a result of that, he's done it nonstop for longer than I've been alive. And the guy is a fitness phenomena as a result of it.
Yeah.
At 69 years old, the guy, we just hit a PR in his squat last week at 69. You know, normally when you train someone at that age, you're happy to just not go backwards, just to maintain.
Right.
So it's all about, you know, that was from his point of view. And for me, it kind of blew my mind. And, you know, it makes sense.
It's all perspective.
Yeah, man. Just fall in love with the process. Like, love the day-to-day of it. Love the fitness. I mean, and I don't think anyone in this room doesn't love working out.
No, I mean, it's how you approach anything in life, you know, from that aspect. It'll change everything. If you can start loving, you know, the process of adversity, you know, when things are challenging, if you can start really, you know, focusing on the fact that you recognize that this is a challenge right now that I'm going to overcome. And, you know, after that, you just benefit from the rewards of it.
You do. And I'm going to use myself as an example here, because I'm extremely competitive and I do compete against other people. But I don't do it with some weird, you know, like, if I can't beat this person, then I'm a failure type of deal. Like, I'll give you an example, okay? I always talk shit to Adam about working out. We always talk shit to each other back and forth. First of all, we both love it. Nobody gets offended. But I don't pretend to think to myself that I'm somehow going to look or become more muscular than him. He's a professional physique competitor. But it I know it motivates me to try to compete against him, to train myself harder.
Because you like to stay uncomfortable.
I love
this. This is how I feel.
Yes. I love
putting myself into uncomfortable situations that challenge me, because I feel like that's the only way I can ever grow.
Exactly.
And I do want to grow.
Exactly. You'll almost never hear me talk shit to someone about to someone who I'm already outperforming, you know, unless they're coming up and I'm having fun with them and I want them to move up. But usually I'll try to compete with someone who's better than me, even if I don't think I'm not going to win. I know it's going to push me to be a better me. But that I've identified in myself.
Yeah.
Now, if you're not that kind of person.
Not everybody can do that.
Right. Yeah. If you're that kind of person that doesn't work for you, then don't do it. Then it's all about being a better you. But at the end of the day, I think when we approach life with this whole, you know, everybody's going to be equal, everybody's, you know. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. In fact, societies that have approached life that way, or approached policy, you know, public policy that way, have resulted in deaths of millions of people and the loss of liberty and life for lots of people. I think what we need to understand is that we're not equal, but we all have...
everybody has a little bit of fight in them.
Right. We all should be treated equal, and that's it. We're all treated equal, but we're not all going to win the race. But at the end of the day, I'm nice to you, you're nice to me. And we fucking go for it and become a better who we are.
Oh, right? Absolutely. The process has to be something that if you're going to be successful at it, you have to love that. You have to enjoy that, because otherwise it'll be short-lived. If it's just purely a goal and you're going to punish yourself to get to that goal, yeah, you might achieve that goal, but sustaining that forever, long-term, like it won't. You can't. It just can't. It won't happen. You'll stop because you're not loving the process of it, because we've talked about this before. You know, the body, it's not linear. That's why I love the pictures, because I'm always manipulating my program and my nutrition. And
you're enjoying it. You love that process.
Yes, I love that. And guess what? A lot of times it doesn't give me the result I want.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'm doing things that I think, oh, okay, I'm going to start incorporating this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to do this.
You learn from it, though.
Yeah. And then I look at the picture, like 2 weeks go by and I'm like, motherfucker. I'm going backwards. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't like what I see. But I don't get down on myself. I don't go like, well, screw this. I give up, or I don't want to do this. It's like, it was a learning process. Like, okay, well, I know now that isn't best for me. Maybe I should go and do this instead. And then I love playing with that and doing that. There's a lot of stepping back.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting? So check this out. So if your ultimate goal, the only motivation that you have is to hit a goal, like, that's it. I just have to hit this goal. That's the only reason why I'm motivated. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If you're lucky enough to hit that goal, okay, you're going to fail afterwards, because you've hit that goal. Now what? As a matter of fact, psychologists call it post-goal depression, where your motivation for something is simply to like all I want to do is, win this tournament coming up. That's all I want to do. That's all I motivate. That's the only reason why I'm working out. And then you win that tournament. And guess what? Now what?
Now what?
You didn't love the process. You didn't enjoy the process. You actually, and I've experienced this myself. You know, I used to compete and train in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. It didn't love it like I love the process of working out, but I enjoyed it. And I remember I trained going into a tournament, and I trained my ass off, and I got first place. I was so unmotivated after that first place, because the process wasn't what I really loved the most. It was the fact that I had to get this tournament. Now, if we rewind before that, I had entered a tournament and I had lost. And that motivated the shit out of me, because all I wanted to do was win a tournament. Once I got there, though.
Yeah, you want to get dues, get back in
right,
there.
Right. So,
have at it.
Yeah. So goals are very important. But what's more important is enjoying the process, because you might actually hit that goal and then what?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's true, though, too, because it goes along with purpose. And it reminds me of people that, you know, they retire and it creates this depression, because they worked so long to get to this point where they can do all this so-called free time. But, they detach themselves from purpose and a reason to get up and get moving and, you know, be organized and achieve something. So that's something that I'll definitely be challenging myself with when I get to a point where it's like, okay, I don't think I'll ever retire. I always have my hand in something that really motivates me and drives me every day to accomplish something, because, you know, it doesn't have to be like super demanding and absorb all my time, but it's something I'm always going to be vested in something because I want to be challenged.
Right. And it, just to bring it back to fitness, you know, if you're listening to this right now and you're having trouble being motivated to exercise on a regular basis, what you need to do is you need to find a way to enjoy the day to day of it. You know, enjoy the day to day. We've talked about this a million times. Look, are you going to get great? Are you going to get better results, you know, running than you are maybe just walking a little bit? Maybe. But if you fucking hate running, then don't. Just walk. You know, find something that you enjoy.
Or if you're Rich Froning, do CrossFit.
Yeah.
We promote you.
Yeah. So if you find, find what you enjoy about it. I have a client I was just talking to about this the other day, and he was telling me how, you know, he wants to start losing weight again. He's going to get real focused again. And he, after 1 week, no progress. And he's like, it's so frustrating. I tried so hard. I came in here, did cardio 3 times. So I explained to him the whole calories burn. And it's not really that big of an impact. And I told him, I said, you know what? Why don't you do 30 to 40 minutes of activity every single day? And he's like, oh, well, that's boring. Now, he's a writer. He likes to write. And he likes to listen to podcasts and stuff. I said, no. I said, you think of it wrong. Don't come here and do cardio because you fucking hate that. You're not going to do that every day. I said, put your headphones on. Listen to your podcast. Bring a notepad and paper. And go for a walk somewhere that's inspiring. Do that every single day. Make it part of your routine, but make it something that's enjoyable. And it's like a light bulb went off in his head. The look on his face was like, I never thought of it that way. I mean, that's the way you need to approach it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's funny. I think we all kind of coach a very similar, because, you know, I was just having this conversation with one of my clients that I'm coaching right now that's fairly new. And they're always like, well, what's next? What do I have to do this? Or what do I have to do that? And like, you know, want to know, wait, where are we going to lose this? And I'm like, it's not about that. You know what this is about. And I spend a lot of time asking you, how do you feel? Do you, when they're like, what do you mean? How do I feel? I'm like, well, I mean, are you enjoying how you're eating right now? Does it work well with your lifestyle? Is that, you know, it's not like, I don't care if you went up one or down two. Like, I want to know, like, what I've got you doing right now, is it something that you see yourself being able to continue to do?
That is what an excellent trainer would say. Because a bad trainer would do the opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell them, you need to do this, you need to do that.
No, you got to get that 10 pounds off or whatever. Yeah, yeah. No, you're interested in the person's longevity.
Right.
You're interested in having fitness become part of their life.
Yeah. And
that's a good trainer.
And I explained to them, I said, you know, and I'm very good now. I mean, it took me a long time in training before I learned how important this was to explain to clients, is that, you know, this is about a lifestyle. And it's very easy to close them when you first start on, listen, do you want just to lose 10 pounds or do you want me to teach you how to live a fit, healthy lifestyle for the rest of your life? And like, nobody says they don't want that. You know, nobody says like, oh, just lose 10 pounds and I don't care about being fit and healthy. Like, they want that, you know? And so when you make sure they commit to it, say, well, let me explain to you then. I don't want to get all, I'm going to have you give me your weight and I'm going to be tracking all that stuff for my reasons, but I don't want you to focus on that. I don't care about that. And I got this new girl right now, and she's probably listening to this right now, so I won't put her name out there. But, you know, she came to me and she'd been listening to Mind Pump for quite a while. And she's like, man, she's like, you've struck a chord with me because I feel like, you know, I'm that person who's suffering from metabolic damage. And, you know, when I looked at her calories and stuff, she's eating like 800 to 1,000 calories.
Wow.
And she's not a tiny little girl. You know, she's needs a lot more than that. For her body type, she probably should be eating somewhere between 2,000 and 2,500 minimum.
Wow.
And so, you know, right away, I see that right away. And then I see the balance of type of foods and stuff. And then on top of that, then she's coming and she's training hardcore in a class 4 times a week, super high intensity, you know, just pushing the shit out of herself. In addition to trying to be active on top of that and trying to cancel out the little bit of calories she is doing. So I was like, this is going to be tough for you, but I want you to scale way back. And then, you know, if I see you coming into Orange Theory and I catch you running on the treadmill, I'm going to get after you. I want you walking. And when I'm yelling at everybody else, go faster, you're walking. And it was funny because the other day was her first day in there and she was just looking at me like, do I have to just walk? And I'm like, yes, just watch. It was amazing though. Already, right? Having her eat more food. She's up like 400 calories. She's exercising 50% less at about 80% less intensity, already seeing a decline in her weight. And I'm like, I actually want you to, and then I go, I actually want you to bump your calories even more because I don't want to see any decline in weight right now. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, more water, more food, less work, less activity. And already starting to see results of that. And right now, I don't care about your weight. That's going to come. Right now, I want you fed. I want you fed. I want you feeling healthy. I want balance. And just watch. This is all part of it, you know? So I love somebody who'll stick through it and get there, because those are the ones who change their lives. The ones that actually have blind faith. They stick through the process. They make it through, whether it takes 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever, depending on how much damage we've done in the past. When they finally get there and they actually get to see their metabolism working for them instead of against them, which they've been probably struggling with for months or years in their life. Oh, it's so rewarding. It makes everything we do worthwhile.
For those of you who are, for those trainers who are listening and hearing everything Adam's saying, and you're thinking to yourself, how can I communicate that to my client? Because that's tough, right? I mean, it's tough. Adam is a great communicator, and so he can communicate that confidence and have people have that faith in him. But that's a hard thing for a trainer to do,
right?
And so I'll just tell you this: as a trainer, you need to believe in it and have passion behind it. And then your client will follow and listen and follow your advice. If you yourself are questioning yourself and you don't have that passion behind you because you're like, oh, I don't know.
Because they're already leery to do that.
Right.
Because it's like a contradiction to their go button.
Right.
That they're always going to go with. And they know that recipe has done such and such. So you really have to have conviction.
Right. So, you know, have that conviction, that passion, and then they'll follow you.
Yeah. Don't fall into the trap of... because they want you to lose them 10 pounds so bad that you want to show them that as fast as you can to prove that you're a great trainer.
Yeah. Right.
It drives me crazy. And the analogy I use, you can bite it right off of me, is when someone gives me a weight goal and I can feel that that's what's so important to them, I flip it right back on them. And I go, oh, you want to lose 20 pounds and that matters so much to you. Yes, yes, yes. I say, oh, easily. We could do that in a week. They're like, what? A week? Oh, yeah. Perfect. This is what I want you to do. Stop eating and run on the treadmill every day.
Yeah.
And they're looking at me all crazy and they laugh and I laugh and I go, that sounds crazy, right? But that's just an extreme analogy of what you're doing.
Mm.
It's an extreme analogy. I'm going on one extreme, but it's really what you're doing. You are starving the body so much. You are pushing so hard that that's pretty much what you're doing. You may as well push if you want that in that amount of time. You can. You just got to keep pushing that direction
and
stop eating. You might die on the way.
Right. And talk about enjoy the process. Who the fuck's going to enjoy that process? Hey,
who's ever going to want to do that again?
Yeah. Never.
Yeah.
No one's going to enjoy that process.
Yeah.
So,
and then you lose.
And then you lose.
So.
And it's not the weight
no.
that you want, not the body fat.
No. It's... yeah.
Awesome. So please do not forget to subscribe to Mind Pump and rate and review us. We love it. Adam loves it. Justin loves it. Ooh, but you know who loves it the most?
Doug.
Doug loves
Doug.
It. Do it for Doug.
Do it for Doug.
Look at
please.
That face he's making.
Do it for Doug.
He's going to keep saying it. So
yeah. We need to make sure. Rate, review, do it for Doug.
Review.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.